Our great high priest, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Psalm 110 and verse 4. The office of priesthood is as old as man's ruin. The spiritual collapse and moral delinquency following his fall demanded someone to go into God's presence on man's behalf, since no sinful man could enter God's holy presence. In the beginning, the head of the family was the priest. Then, after 2,000 years, the choosing of Israel for sovereign and divine purposes, the tribe of Levi was set apart as priests, with the family of Aaron as high priests. That dispensation passed away when, in the fullness of time, the Lord of glory became flesh. Now, what God swore about in this psalm and did not repent of was the priesthood of his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This shows the importance of it, for God could swear by no greater. His priesthood was concerning things pertaining to God and his glory, as well as making reconciliation for the sins of his people. His oath was not so much to establish the priesthood of Christ or to confirm him of it, so much as for the sake of his people, that they, through two immutable things, the word of God and the oath of God, might have a strong consolation. After the order of Melchizedek, so was the Lord called. Melchizedek, some believe, was an angel. Some that he was a man, some the Holy Ghost, others the Son of God in human form. But it was evident that he was raised up from among men, which the high priest had to be, a real man. And he was a remarkable type of the Lord Jesus Christ. His titles, King of Righteousness and the King of Peace, agree with Christ. His being without father and without mother, without descent, beginning of days, or end of life, agree with his deity, his humanity, and the eternity of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blesses his people and refreshes them with bread and wine, as Melchizedek did Abraham's soldiers. Christ was a priest like Melchizedek. Now, with the death and resurrection and ascension of our Lord, there are five notable scriptures in the letter to the Hebrews which clearly declare the substance of his priesthood. This is not after the Levitical order, but the order of Melchizedek. These scriptures explain five basic truths of his priesthood. First of all, his proper manhood. In all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. Hebrews 2:17. Every high priest is taken from among men. Chapter 5, verse 1. Our Lord passed through every human experience of distress. He remembers his own grief as the Son of Man and his own utter dependence upon the sympathetic help of his Father in heaven. It is because of these unutterable and inexpressible woes in his life on earth that he is now such an understanding and sympathetic high priest in the heavens and able to succor. Hebrews 2 verse 18. Then we see his essential greatness. A great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. He has an essential right to be where he is, on the throne of heaven. And being who he is, we have no fear that his intercessions on our behalf will fail. The particular phase of his ministry in this regard is his supply of grace. For this we are to come boldly to him, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, or in the nick of time. Chapter 4 and verse 16 of Hebrews. We need both mercy and grace. Mercy to forgive us when we fail. Grace to strengthen us that we may not fail. Abba, Father, cried our Lord, in his own dire need as the Son of Man. That cry from our lips reaches the Father when we cry in the name of his dear Son. Then we have his infinite compassion, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, or deliver him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Hebrews 5:7-9. What is stressed here is his compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way. Verse 2. We are naturally slow in hearing the ways of the Lord. When Peter failed, it was with tender compassion that the Lord looked upon him. His compassions fail not. He is one to whom the most timid may come with their burdens, and when they do so, they will find him not hard and exacting, but tender and sympathetic. Then again we note his prevailing intercession. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Hebrews 7:25. It is because he ever liveth by the power of an endless life that his priesthood is unchangeable. His office will never pass to another, as was the case of the Jewish high priests, who surrendered their office by reason of death. Our Lord remains high priest forever by virtue of the fact that he ever liveth. Thus eternal salvation is assured us and secured for us. He continueth ever, therefore his priesthood continueth ever, therefore his intercession continueth ever, therefore his salvation continueth ever. Our eternal salvation is bound up with his eternal priesthood and the efficacy of his eternal intercessions. Then, finally, we have his heavenly ministry, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. Hebrews 8:2. This heavenly sanctuary is the place where he exercises his priestly functions. The greatness of his office is matched only by the greatness of the sanctuary in which he ministers, which is heaven itself. Think of the glory of the tabernacle Moses built in the wilderness, and the magnificence of the temple Solomon erected in the promised land. But these were sanctuaries which could crumble and be destroyed, which took place when the Babylonians razed Solomon's house to the ground. The sanctuary in heaven is not so. Entering the heavenly sanctuary, as our Lord did, was not entering where there was but a symbolic presence of God in the Shekinah glory. He moved into God's real presence and into a sanctuary which God pitched and not man, a sanctuary eternal in the heavens. The particular emphasis here is upon our Lord serving as a minister of the sanctuary. Whatever be our need, while here on earth below or in heaven above, it is our Lord's delight to be amid his redeemed people as one that serveth. Now kindly hear the words of Mr. Yerbury. Thy love we own, Lord Jesus, in service unremitting. Within the veil thou dost prevail, each soul for worship fitting. Encompassed here with failure, each earthly refuge fails us. Without, within, beset with sin, thy name alone avails us. Thy love we own, Lord Jesus, for though thy toils are ended, thy tender heart doth take its part with those thy grace befriended. Thy sympathy, how precious, thou succorest in sorrow, and bidst us cheer while pilgrims here, and haste the hopeful morrow. Thy love we own, Lord Jesus, Thy way is traced before thee. Thou wilt descend, and we ascend, to meet in heavenly glory. Soon shall the blissful morning call forth thy saints to meet thee. Our only Lord, by all adored, with gladness then we'll greet thee. Thy love we own, Lord Jesus, we wait to see thy glory, to know as known and fully own thy perfect grace before thee. We plead thy parting promise, come quickly to release us, then endless praise our lips shall raise, for love like thine, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen.